So Exodus chapter 19, second book in the Bible, and we've reached the part where the people meet with God at Mount Sinai. They've come out of Egypt, Moses led them through the Red Sea, and now they're meeting with God, and this is where the covenant is made. God makes his covenant with the people. So Exodus chapter 19, and from verse 16, and I'll read just to the beginning of chapter 20. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended on the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, "Go down and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up Mount Sinai, because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain, and set it apart as holy." The Lord replied, "Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." I wonder when you have been the most afraid. On a normal day, there's not that much to make us afraid in Oxford. At least I hope that's your normal experience. The streets are fairly safe, especially during the daytime. We don't have deadly animals. We did go for a walk the other day. We saw a little snake. Well, it wasn't a snake. It was just a slow worm. Completely harmless. We don't get hurricanes. And thank God there is no war going on in Britain. Things are pretty safe. When I was a young man and I went out to South Africa, it was a little different. It was much more scary. There were talks of kidnappings and murder. And when I got out to the Bush Hospital where I was working and sometimes I went to see some of the wildlife, well, once or twice I got a little bit too close for comfort. I remember being in a boat bird watching with a friend, and the two eyes of a massive crocodile popped up not that far from us. I kept my hands well out of the water, and thankfully it was okay. There's not much here to make us afraid. But if you could have asked those Israelites all those years ago, about 3,500 years ago, when they were most afraid, it may well have been this occasion at the foot of Mount Sinai when they met with God. Now, they had experienced already terrifying times. They had lived through those 10 plagues. Very often, they were spared the darkness, for example, and the worst of the plagues. But nonetheless, those were terrifying times. And then they were really scared when they were hemmed in by the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. They thought they were going to be destroyed. But God protected them, and God brought them through the sea. Then there were the growing fears as they ran out of food in the desert, and when they had no water to drink. But God provided for them. But now, as they meet with God at Mount Sinai, it's a new and different experience to what they'd ever had before. And it's terrifying. They are trembling with fear. Even Moses, we will read, trembled with fear. And afterwards, if you just turn over the page to chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, or we will die. Sometimes people say, well, if God is there, why doesn't he show himself? People are terrified, even at the voice of God. Now, this was the old covenant. When God made his covenant with the people at Mount Sinai, God does not change. He is God. He is eternally the same. He is always to be feared. But we live under the new covenant. And because of the new covenant, our experience of God is very different to that of the people under the old covenant. And I want us, as we look at these verses, to see things that characterized Israel's meeting with God, and then contrast that with what we have under the new covenant because of Jesus. And I want us to see that we have tremendous privileges as children of God through Christ. Three things. Firstly, their meeting with God was characterized by fear. Again and again in this passage, it speaks of how fearful the occasion was for Israel. They'd already spent 2 days preparing. They had to consecrate themselves. They had to make sure that not even an animal would go near to that mountain where God was going to meet with them. And now they're led out to the foot of the mountain to meet with God. There was thunder, there was lightning, there was thick cloud. And they heard a long, loud blast on a trumpet that grew louder and louder. That must have been pretty frightening on its own. And then when God descended, there was fire, and the mountain was covered with smoke, and the mountain was trembling violently. And repeatedly, God warned the people, telling Moses to tell them not to come near, lest they die. And no wonder the people were trembling with fear. And we read in Hebrews 12 how Moses also was trembling with fear. Why such terror before God? Well, it's really in the pages of the Old Testament that we see something of the awesomeness and the power of God. He is the Almighty God, awesome in holiness, eternal in majesty. And we cannot conceive of his greatness. He is hidden from our sight. In fact, the Bible says, no one can see God and live. But why not? Why can we not see God and live? Is it because the physical, we have physical beings with our bodies, is it because the physical and the divine just cannot meet, cannot come together? Like red hot lava that progresses from that volcano, burning up everything in its path. Is God's very being too glorious for us to draw near? Are we forever to be kept from God because we are human? Able to come so far, but no closer? Or is it only our spirits that will be able to draw near to him? So many religions of the world have that only in our spirits will we meet with God. Well, to answer these questions, we need to look no further than to Jesus Christ himself. Because Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. The physical and the divine together. God's being in Christ. They're able to be together. The human and the divine can meet. And so it's not our physical nature that keeps us from God, but rather it's God's holiness and our sinfulness. But if our sin is atoned for, and if we're forgiven, we can draw near to God. And actually, under the Old Covenant, this was what the people had to learn, that God was holy and that they needed to have their sin atoned for. And so all the pictures that they had through the tabernacle, the offering of blood and the sacrifices that they had to offer, all of that was to show the people that they could not just approach God as they were. They needed atonement. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died on the cross to take our sins. He sacrificed himself, paying for that sin on the cross. And this is why meeting with God under the new covenant is so different to the experience that the people had at Mount Sinai as the old covenant was made. God has not changed. He is eternally holy and glorious and mighty. But we are changed. Imagine you're going for a walk in the countryside. And the best route takes you through some private land. And maybe when you first looked at the map, you weren't sure, and you come and you've got to go through this private land. And if you go that way, you're a little bit hesitant. Hesitant because, I don't know, maybe it's the shooting season for pheasants and you might get shot by some, person who, or there might be guard dogs there, or you might be caught and prosecuted. I don't know what they do if you get walking through private land these days, but you're a little bit hesitant, aren't you? But if that land belongs to your family, it's completely different. You can walk through there with confidence. And it's a little bit like that with God. We don't need to be hesitant. We don't need to be fearful in that sense of terror as we come to God. Yes, we always fear God in the sense that he is awesome, glorious, and holy. But we can come before him with a confidence, because we have been made the children of God. We draw near to him because we are forgiven. We draw near to him because we are his children. And here before the throne of God, we see something of his majesty, but we're not terrified. Rather, we are amazed at his love. And here as we worship, our hearts cry out to him, to you be the glory, the honor, and the praise. You are worthy. And as we worship God, as we draw near to him, we are realigned, reset to be what God created us to be, glorifiers of him. We turn from all else and we worship the one true living God. We fear him alone. We want no other God but him, which is the first command. Those first words that God speaks, and the people hear him speak. And he says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. There is no other God. He alone is the creator. He alone is the one who has redeemed them out of Egypt. They came with fear and trembling, utterly terrified, afraid that they were going to suddenly be put to death. Because of Jesus, we come with confidence. Yes, we're still to fear God, but we know that he is not going to suddenly destroy us, for he has made us his children. That's the first difference that we see between the old and new covenants. Secondly, as they came before God, they saw no form. When Israel met with God at Mount Sinai, they saw lightning, fire, smoke. They felt the ground trembling. They saw many awesome things, but they did not see God himself. They felt the impact of God's presence on the mountain as it quaked, but they did not see God. They heard that loud trumpet that got increasingly loud. And they heard the voice of God as it answered Moses. And as we read earlier, by the end of the Ten Commandments, they're saying to Moses, Don't let God speak to us again or we'll die. But they didn't see God. Moses, recalling these events 40 years later in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 12, reminds the people that they saw no form. They heard his voice, but saw no form. Now this is important. God gave the people his words, but no sight of himself. Later, God gave them the tablets of stone with his commands written on them, but not his image. Why? Because God is spirit. He has no physical form. 1 Timothy 1 verse 17 describes God as the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. And this fits with the second command, where the people are told they must not make any image. They mustn't try and create God, a representation of God. Any physical image of God is a false image. He cannot be depicted in a physical form. And so to make an image or to use one in worship is to distort what God is really like. Jesus says that the Father seeks people to worship him. How? In spirit and in truth. Not with images that are false, but with words that he's given us. Words that are true. You might ask, yeah, but what about the visions of God that people had? Or the angel of the Lord who appeared and is described as being the Lord? If no one has ever seen God, as the Apostle John says in 1 John 4 and verse 12, who was it who appeared to Abraham? Or to Moses here? Or to Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1 says very clearly, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. If no one has seen God, well, who did Isaiah see? If you've got a Bible, just turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 41. And Jesus is speaking here. And he quotes firstly from Isaiah chapter 6, that occasion where Isaiah sees the Lord seated on his throne. He quotes from there, and then he says this in John 12 and verse 41. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. It's very interesting, isn't it? The Lord, whom Isaiah saw, was the Son of God, Christ. Now, of course, this was before Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And those appearances of Christ before the incarnation, his birth at Bethlehem, when he became flesh, they're rare, they're brief, but the Son of God was the one who revealed himself to the people. On those rare occasions, like in Isaiah chapter 6, or when the angel of the Lord met with Abraham, or with Gideon, they saw the second person of the Trinity, the pre-incarnate Son. Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me hath seen the Father." People saw Jesus. They touched Jesus. They touched him and were healed. They saw him eat. He had a physical human body. And yet he was fully God. He came to show us God. The people saw him. He became fully human. And in his body, raised from the grave, he ascended into heaven. Though it is still through words that we worship him, we're not to use images, the second command still applies, we know that one day we will see him. And how wonderful it will be that our God, who became a man, will come and bring us to himself so that eternally we can be with him. We will see him face to face. Having taken on the limitations of a human body, our Saviour understands us in our weaknesses. And he will redeem both our souls and our bodies. And we will be forever with him as his bride. At Mount Sinai, the people saw no form. Under the new covenant, we see Jesus. He became man. The third characteristic of the old covenant was that there was no real fellowship. There was fear, no form, no fellowship. You see, at Mount Sinai, the constant emphasis is on keep your distance, keep out, don't draw near. There's this separation between the people and God. The people watch from the foot of the mountain. They're not allowed to go up to the mountain to meet with God. They dare not draw near, lest God would break out and put them to death. Repeatedly, God has to say to Moses, tell the people, don't look up, don't come near. Now, we all know what it's like to be left out, even to be kept out. You know, as a child, you've got to go to bed while the adults are carrying on with the game or whatever they're doing, and you've got to go to bed and they're all having fun. We know what it's like being left out. At school, maybe when some are invited to the party or the sleepover and we're left out. Or at work, we're not part of the important decision-making group. Or we're not given the high bonuses, we're left out. We know what it is to be on the periphery. But you know, those examples of where we're excluded are nothing compared to what happens here at Sinai. The eternal God leaves them out, keeps them at a distance. Look at verse 23. Moses has had to do this. You warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. You're left out, you people. You're not holy. You can't come. Even the priests were not allowed to draw near. You might ask, who are these priests? Because Aaron and his sons have not yet been made priests. It's probably a reference to chapter 13, verse 1, where God said, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb belongs to me. That's probably what is meant here. Later, Aaron is made the high priest and his sons. But even those priests were not allowed to draw near. People are left out. To be left out of the greatest gathering ever, that is truly dreadful. To be kept away from our Creator and our Father, that of all things is what we do not want to happen. But what is this? Look at verse 24. The Lord replied, go down and bring Aaron up with you. Moses and his brother Aaron were allowed to go up the mountain. The priests weren't, the people weren't. They were kept at a distance. But Moses and Aaron were invited up. Aaron became the high priest. Moses was the mediator between God and the people. And both are pictures to us of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator between God and human beings. He is the priest, our great high priest in heaven, the one who speaks on our behalf, who offers our offerings to God for us. Now, Aaron would fail. But Jesus did not. He is our great high priest. And this is why, under Jesus, under the new covenant, we are able to draw near to God. Through him, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can draw near. That's why I read from Hebrews 12. It begins those words about the fear, the gloom, the darkness, the trembling at Mount Sinai, but says, you have not come to that mountain. But verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to heaven, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. This is the privilege that we have as Christians. We come with joy before God. We meet here on a Sunday morning, not with utter dread in our hearts, but with joy that we can meet before God. We come not because God has changed, but because there's a new covenant. We have a new priest, Jesus. We have a new redeemer, Jesus. We have a new mediator, Jesus. Do you want to be part of that eternal and glorious gathering, the city of the living God? You can be. And now today, you can know that fellowship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. He is our Savior. He is ready to welcome any who will trust in him. Under the new covenant, we have tremendous blessings, but we have to lay hold of them. It doesn't happen automatically. We've got to put our faith in Jesus. We've got to draw near to God through him. We've got to acknowledge that left to ourselves, we are unholy, that our sins have separated us from God. But as we confess our sins, as we look to God to forgive us through his Son Jesus, we are able to draw near to our God and Father. We're able to be the people God made us to be, true worshippers who honor his name. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ. We thank you that through him we are able to draw near to God. And because of his death on the cross on our behalf, we are completely forgiven. We thank you, O Lord, that for eternity we shall be with you in heaven. We thank you for the hope that we have through our Saviour Jesus Christ. O Lord, you do not change, but you have brought a new covenant through your Son Jesus. We put our faith in him, and we rejoice in him, and we thank you for him. We pray this in his name. Amen.